Dear brothers and sisters, a very good morning to each and every one of you. I just want you to imagine a breakfast of fresh grilled fish and a warm bread after an all night at work and a short swim. Just sitting down by the closest friends and watching the beautiful sunrise. And food has been served. And your host is not someone new. Your host is your leader, your coach, your guide, or the one whom you love so much, the newly risen, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today is Communion Sunday. The same host, the Lord Jesus, is inviting us to have fellowship with Him. What would it be like to have breakfast with Jesus? It will be a wonderful time, I believe. I want to spend some time looking from the text that was just read to us earlier, John chapter 21, 4 to 14, on the theme called Breakfast with Jesus, the power of the Holy Communion. Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you've given to us, that we can gather, Lord, wherever we are, to worship you, to acknowledge you, to adore your name, and to recognize your faithfulness in our life, our Father. Lord, we pray that as we look at your word, we pray for strength, we pray for guidance, we pray for help. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen. You know, I came across a fun-filled story. To some of us, it might sound gross. It's about a preacher who went to visit an elderly woman from his church. And she was in the hospital after an operation. And so the preacher was there, wanted to have a conversation with her. As he sat down beside her, he saw a bowl of peanuts. It looked very nice on the stand next to the bed. As he was having a conversation with her, you know, he began to eat them. And soon it was time for him to leave. When he got up, he noticed that he has eaten all the peanuts that was in the bowl. And he felt sorry, and he said, you know, Sister Jones, I'm so sorry. I ate all of the peanuts that you have kept for yourself. Sister Jones smilingly replied, she said, that's okay, Pastor. I've already sucked all of the chocolate off them. I've already sucked all of the chocolates. You know, some of us would be just smiling when we hear this story. Yes, how much all of us love food that suits our taste, that catches our attention. You know, we often become more alive when we share a meal around a table. In the account that was just read to us today, it's about Peter, the one who have denied Jesus, and John. They were sitting in the boat by the Sea of Galilee early in the morning after a hard and a discouraging night. A night of hard work, but no fish. Dawn broke. They knew that the night has been a waste. Unsuccessful fishing with other disciples. You know, when I was just working on this particular text, I realized my hunch is that Peter is not just trying to catch fish, but he was just fishing for answers. Peter may have left Jerusalem together with the disciples, but he cannot get away from the 3 years of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, listening to the voice of Jesus. The moment he spent with him, the Last Supper, the arrest, the charcoal fire, you know, the place that he denied, saying that, I do not know this man. I believe he cannot leave behind the cross scene, the empty tomb, and the voice of Jesus coming into his ears, peace be upon you, or peace be with you. I believe Peter would have said, you know, Lord, what have I done? Where will I go? What will I do now? I trust, you know, that was the things that might have been happening in the mind of Peter when he left Jerusalem to be by the Sea of Galilee. But in the midst of all this, a man calls out and says, you know, friends, haven't you caught any fish? And they replied, they haven't any. And so the man said, you know, throw your nets on the other side of the boat. And when they did, they were surprised because they were unable to haul the net because of the large number of fish. John realized that this voice is a very familiar voice. He shouted, "It's the Lord! It's the Lord!" When Peter heard John's exclamation, he jumped, he plunged into the water and swam his way to Jesus. And others followed on the boat. You know, on the shore, Peter and the other disciples saw that Jesus has already started a fire and was cooking some fish to serve with bread. And Jesus invites them and says, come and have breakfast. When Jesus invites them, I believe those words were a source of strength for these disciples. And even today when Jesus calls us and says, come and have breakfast, it's a source of strength for every Christian. It was a wonderful moment in the life of the disciples. You know, usually when you look at scripture, throughout scripture you see eating taking place, my friend. Feast, different kinds of feast that takes place. Jesus reclining at the table. You know, it was a time to foster relationship with people. You know, the early church, they broke bread together. And we also read the great marriage supper of the Lamb that will take place, you know, when we are with the Lord Jesus Christ. So eating usually refers to physical consumption of food. But often eating is used metaphorically to mean being filled with spiritual knowledge and a growing intimate relationship with Jesus, my friend, with God. And so Jesus invites by saying, come and have breakfast. You know, when I look at the word come here, you know, many times it's been just overlooked. But it's a very powerful word in the English language too. It speaks about, you know, you are included, you are part of the company, the guest list. And so Jesus is inviting them. I believe that invitation would have given them much assurance, much strength. And the meal that they are going to about to have with the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be a wonderful meal, my friend. Even today, the Lord is inviting us to come and to experience Him. The first thing that I see in the meal that they had in this particular text that we just read, you know, the meal was a refreshing meal. A refreshing meal. You know, when Peter hears that it is the Lord, he comes. According to text, he's almost the first one who came to the shore. And in a little while, he was all alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not speaking anything. If you realize, Peter was a man who was always outspoken. He got something to say. He's always there in front of the queue, wanting to say something. But here, Peter is very speechless. In this text, you notice that between Peter and Jesus, there is a fire of burning coal or charcoal fire. It's very interesting, you know, this word is only used twice in the Gospel of John. John uses it here in verse 9. He calls it the fire of coal. And then in John chapter 18, verse 18, right, he uses the same word where Peter warmed himself with a charcoal fire. So this fire was not just was a reminder to Peter of his sin of denial. Because Peter, in John chapter 18, he warmed himself a few days ago by the charcoal fire, right? And he denied, he said, I do not know this man. But now, the loving Jesus is inviting him. And he's inviting him to come and have breakfast. I believe Peter would have thought, you know, I denied this man, but he refused to deny me. I tried to run away from him, but he has always found me. You know, I said he's a stranger. I do not know him. But now he calls me and he invites me. It is not just a meal, but it is a humbling, restoring, and a refreshing meal for Peter. I believe he felt refreshed, he felt free. You know, that's the testimony of God's faithfulness, my friend. The Lord invites us, he wants to free us. He wants to take away the guilt away from us by his death on the cross for us. It reminds us of the undying love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and each and every one of us should be humbled by this. This meal really refreshed Peter. Many times in our life we feel broken. We feel that we have failed. But the Lord invites us, my friend. He understands our pain. It might be physical, it might be emotional, or it might be a very relational, but the Lord understands. He doesn't send the disciples away and wants them to get things, the act put together, but he invites them to find mercy and grace by drawing close to him. The Lord Jesus is full of mercy and grace. Today, you know, the Lord invites us. When we come to the table, when we come to have fellowship with him, you know, when we come even engaging in God's word, when we come to worship him, when you truly seek him, it is always refreshing, it's always energizing, it's always renewing us, it's always restoring us, my friend. Let me challenge you, let me encourage you to make it a point to come. Because the Lord is always inviting us. Secondly, when I look at this particular text, it's a beautiful reminder of his love. I see love in the meal too, right? Jesus is lovingly preparing this food for them. When they came to shore, in verse 9, let me read, they said, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. You know, a few minutes ago, Jesus called up and said, you know, friends, do you have fish? But now everything is here. He is already prepared because he's the God who's a creator. He's a provider. You know, he's the one who's able to do anything. First, when I look at this, you know, there are two verses that I want to share with you. I see it's a very loving meal. In verse 12, Jesus is inviting, he says, come and have breakfast. In other words, you know, the breakfast has already been prepared. You need not come and, you know, prepare for yourself, but this has already been prepared for you. I've already done this for you. You know, he has prepared breakfast for this hungry and tired disciples. I believe it was a delicious one. Can you see the servant nature of Jesus even in the resurrection? Can you see the love of God? He has done everything to the disciples who denied him, who deserted him, who were there not for him. They were not there when he needed them most, my friend. But Jesus, on his own, prepared. Yes, that's the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life fully for us, my friend. And secondly, when you read verse 13, it says, Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. You know, notice that the original fish and bread for this breakfast, right? It was done. It was prepared. And so it indicates that all come from the hand of God. And on the same note, you also see that Jesus is serving them. Not only prepared breakfast and said, you know, you guys come and eat. But he serves them. He serves these disciples who are hungry and he serves them. Almost half a dozen of the disciples were there with great appetite. He was serving them bread and he also gave them fish. You know, Jesus is still serving them right till the end, my friend, even before he ascended into heaven. Throughout the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see that he's always serving. He's always serving. One of the vivid accounts of Jesus' servant attitude is found in John chapter 13. Just before Jesus ate the Last Supper with the disciples, he did a remarkable thing. He washed the feet of the disciples. Can you imagine? The Lord who's the creator, the sustainer, the sovereign God, the King, the Messiah. He is serving. When you read in Mark chapter 10 verse 45, Mark says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Yes, my friend, you know, Jesus was always serving. When he confronted a human need, he did not walk away. When he saw people with sorrows, you know, he did not walk away. He was there to bring peace upon their life. He ministered to children, imparting blessings on their lives. He even provided for his mother at the cross. Jesus, throughout his ministry, was always serving. And I believe that's why Peter, when he writes later in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, I believe Peter was just reminded of this wonderful occasion. And he says, now each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. I believe it's because of this wonderful occasion and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ have impacted the life of Peter that he reminds his believers. And I believe it's a reminder for each and every one of us, my friend. Whatever God has given to us, you know, God wants us to serve him to show his love to people around. The last thing that I see in this particular text, in verse 14, I see, let me read, this is how John concludes by saying, this is now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. You know, John is so clear, right? He knows this is the third time. You know, John knew what exactly took place and he wanted to make sure that this experience or this occasion appears in his gospel. because this is a meal to remember. A meal that he wants to be remembered. Yes, my friend, there are experiences in our life that we tend to forget, but there are certain things in our life, and those are unforgettable. And we remember for years, there are moments. Certain things are not cannot be forgotten. Do you know, John writes this gospel after almost more than 50 years after the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he still remembers. More than 50 years, he remembers the words of Jesus. He remembers the wonderful encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, not only he remembered, he also wanted the first century saints to remember. He wanted them also to remember that Jesus was there, not only appearing to them, but serving them. So this would be a great comfort to those who were struggling in those days, my friend. And so when we have a wonderful time with the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, those moments are important moments, my friend. And those moments are unforgettable moments, because those moments not only refreshes us, those moments, you know, does not only fill us with his love, those experience are wonderful encounters with Jesus. What Jesus have done on the cross for us. And what the Lord is doing each and every moment of our life cannot be forgotten. He's faithful, he's loving, he's merciful, my friend. When we come to the table, the Lord's Supper, we're reminded. It's a time of joy, it's a time of hope. And so today, I believe the same Lord is inviting us. If you're thirsty, if you're looking for your need to be met, the Lord says, come, all you're thirsty. Come to the waters. And if you are someone who I'm saying, Lord, I want to seek your guidance, Lord. I need help. The Lord says, come and let us reason together. If you're tired and you are going through a difficult time in your life, the Lord says, come. All you are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To those who might say, Lord, I'm just seeking direction in my life, or I feel aimless in my life. The Lord says, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. I want to pray, my friend. I want to pray that throughout these days, when we walk with the Lord, when we have fellowship with the Lord, when we come to the table, we will be refreshed. We will be filled with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll always treasure the moments spent with him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your love that is upon us. We thank you, Lord, that even now that you're inviting us, help us, Lord, to respond to your call. Help us, Lord, to have fellowship with you. Help us, Lord, to walk with you. Help us, Lord, to come together as a church to break bread, Father. And help us, Lord, to enjoy you. In Jesus' most wonderful and loving name we pray. Amen.